Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
By now you probably know that I'm completely and utterly fascinated and captivated by people who challenge accepted beliefs that they are brought up with or born into. I think it takes a really strong person to challenge those accepted beliefs. And in the South African context, I'm thinking of somebody like Bram Fischer, who was born to Afrikaans aristocracy and in inverted commas threw it all away and supported the liberation movement because he knew what he had been brought up to believe was not correct. And on the line is my next guest. His name is Noor Dari. He's a person just like that. He is Executive Director, Islamic Theology of Counterterrorism, a think tank in the UK, which is very much involved in counter-Islamist terrorism. Noor, thank you so much for talking to me here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Thank you very much, Simon, for inviting. I appreciate that.
Noor, born Pakistan, now leader of a think tank in the UK, which takes on fundamentalist Islamic terrorism. What is your story? How does that transformation happen?
Well, back in days, Simon, I was born and bred in Pakistan, and I belonged to the Salafi community, and I was very extreme in back in days. And I saw the life differently than I do now. I'm thankful to God that I didn't follow blindly or copy the people around me. I listened to myself and not what the other people would say. I had enough sense to judge the situation. It was my nature to know everything in details. I was very young and I always searched for the truth. I changed my life many times within the branches of Islam to find out which is the right path. I was once fell into a jihadism. I was a jihadist back in days. Wow. I was in Afghanistan. I did the training in Afghanistan in 90s when I was in 20s. Right. So I was extreme in my day. So this is how the education comes. When I moved to the United Kingdom, I studied a lot about the religions, about the political conflict in the Middle East and Israel, Palestine specifically. And when I joined the police department in London, I was 7 years in police department in London.
Yeah.
So there I met fewer Jewish people and then talk to them and have a discuss with the situation, what's going on. And that brought my mind and knew that what exactly is that. When I studied about Islam, I knew that, well, anti-Semitism didn't come from the Muslim Islam. It came from the, Western countries when they colonized the all, region. So they brought that things, not within Islam. Because anti-Semitism, that's what's happening nowadays, which changed now. It's anti-Zionism. Actually, there's no big difference between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. And these old things, Simon, I knew when I came to UK and interact with other people, other community, join the police, speak in a different community, different religious people. That's brought my mind, changed my extreme views to the more dead.
Wow, but that's really moderating your views. I mean, I didn't know that you were a jihadist. I didn't know that you'd been in Afghanistan. And to travel that journey, I mean, that's more than a journey. That's like living different people's lives in one life. And yet, I hear what you're saying about the fact that you don't think that there's anti-Semitic embedded within Islam, but there is, for example, the concept of something like a dhimmi, where you have a second class status. I mean, I think Jews have, to a certain extent, had it better at times under Islamic civilization than they have under Christian civilization, but at certain times it's been absolutely fraught and awful.
Well, this was actually, the concept was back in 1,000 years on and on. And when in Islam came, there was still the exists in the pre-area, pre-pre-pre-pre-pre. So the Islam has adopted these, some of things, which was a dhimmi we can say is now that you pay the taxes and we will protect your health, protect your wealth, protect your life, protect everything as long as you pay the tax. So there was the system was on and on from the Egypt for the 1,000 years. People have a first class, people have a second class, but now they, when the time changed, 19th, so the equal opportunity came into the introduce, which is called in the jitihad. When do jitihad is Arabic word. When you see the new world enter into the new era, you adopt the new things according to what Islam says, give the rights to people. So this was a pre-Islam, practice, which was on and on. People were used to the, so this is why it happened. But if you look at the era of in Spain, where the Jewish people were persecuted from all across Europe, they went to Spain, Andalusia, and they lived there with peace. And that was an era, there was a time in when the Jewish live in under the Islamic state, under the Islamic Emirates.
In Turkey, I mean, as well. Very welcomed in Turkey and lived well in Turkey.
And there they had got enough time to invent so many things. which we are now fruitfulling now. They were a lot of invention.
And yet, Noor, I mean, being Jewish in the current international environment, it's not an easy thing to be. I mean, you see regular threats from Iranians where they talk about wiping out Israel. And one tends to almost, to a certain extent, and I'm not proud to say this, but harbor some sort of Islamophobic ideals. But then you read about Bahrain, the UAE, Sudan, the Abraham Accords, and you see a completely different kind of Islam. And you think there isn't any place for Islamophobia because this isn't a fight between Jews and Islam. It's something else.
Well, the thing is, Simon, there is no war between religions as a Jewish or because we follow actually, Islam is following the Judaism actually. Because Abraham was his grand, we consider Abraham, Prophet Abraham as our grandfather. Same like a Jewish. So in that sense, we consider Jewish and as our cousin. And Prophet Muhammad, he married with a Jewish lady as well to give the example that you can marry with your cousins without any hatred, without that. This was a political Islam which was introduced in the 19th century that brought, the hatred against the Jewish people. Otherwise, Islam is very moderate. Islam is very moderate. They welcome everyone. The thing is that people said, and the Quran said, in the Quran written, you can't be a friend with Jews and Nasara, with Christians. So people always throw this ayah, this verse is on me. And I said, look, the concept is completely different. When this verse is on the related with the, only the war. When you have a war, then you have no any friend. Right? When you have war, then you have no any friend. But when you general circumstances, right, they have a more right. And you have to welcome them. And this is why, now the thing is when I said, in the Quran and other words said, that you can marry with the people of books. The people of books means Christian and Jews. Mm-hmm. So I raise a question to those people who consider that we can't make friends with the Jews. I say, all right, so think about it. Which relation is a more important, strong? Friendship or a marriage? So if one hand, Quran said, you can't make a friends with the Jews. And other hand, Quran says, you can marry with the Jews, right? So how the contradiction in Islam is there? How the contradiction in Quran is there? Well, there's actually no contradiction. Contradiction is in our understanding. Because the first verse, you don't make a Christian and a Jews as your friend. It was when the war happened that time. When the war happened, then the verse were revealed that you can't make the friends because you were living in a Medina for the decades and centuries and you had business and friendship with the Jews. Now if they are in a war, so you don't make friendship like that. You are in a war. Now when the circumstances change and the general circumstances, they are your cousins. You can marry with them. So, the people
so you're saying it was the context was all important in terms of how it affected the philosophy. Now I understand that, but I'm just...
There's many the Quranic verses and the recruiter people and then indoctrinate hatred against the Jews and Christians.
Noor, what gives you hope to think that you can win this battle or at least succeed somewhat? Because you devoting your life to defeating fundamentalist political Islam.
Well, Simon, this path I chose is not an easy path. And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful means not even in my life, but what seeds I'm putting there. There might be second generation, my second generation, third generation will see the difference. And when I started, to be honest, tell me, when I started this journey and I knew there might be very tough and no one will really accept it, but I will continue until I'm alive. But thanks God, in my life, I saw the Abraham Accord. They say same these Arabs on the best of nationalism. They hated and promoted extremism, terrorism against the Jewish state. Now these all same Arabs, they are embracing, they say they are our brothers. Look at the Sudan with three no's, no peace, nothing else, isn't it? But no talks, no peace, no acceptance.
Correct. After the 67.
So the thing is, I'm seeing in my life, and hopefully one day might be before I depart from this world, I see the Pakistani people to embrace Jewish as Israeli.
What's the reluctance on behalf of on the part of the Pakistanis to reach a similar agreement as the Emiratis have?
Well, again, I said this is not a religious conflict, this is a political conflict. Now, because of Pakistan is on the corner of Iran and Afghanistan.
Okay.
Now the Iran, and if you look at after Iran, there is a second biggest population, Shia population reside in Pakistan, not even in Iraq, right? So after Iran, most of Shia lives in Pakistan. So Pakistan's very careful to take any action because their army generals, they are Shias. Their intelligence agencies, they are in Shias. Their judiciary, they are Shia people, right? So the thing is this, they don't want to create any civil war inside Pakistan. So this is why they are very, very, very careful to take any step, because if the public, you know, come on the road, that they will be very hard to handle them. And the second thing is, Pakistan for decades and decades, the state was promoting, you know, extremism.
Yeah.
In the madrasas, yeah, in other places. Now, it's been decades from the first Afghan war. Now it's not easy because the generations are still, now we have to wait for the old generation disappear, gone. Then the new generation coming who accept this moderate Islam. And now I'm working on that, and the people are, thousand people are there accepting what I'm trying to say. So it's still a drop in the ocean, but yes, I'm hopeful that people are coming now, because they are, you know, the media has become, social media has become a global village. The world become a global village. Even the global room, I can say, not village, I can say global room, right? Global house. So they are interacting with Jewish, with everyone. So people are getting, you know, education and get idea what the path which I started. I think it will end with a good, such a good news and peaceful.
What a beautiful place to leave it. Noor Dari, thank you so much for talking to us here in Chai FM in Johannesburg. I really appreciate your input this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Simon.
Wasn't that a nice discussion to have? Somebody who was a jihadist, who's come the entire spectrum and is now spending all his time trying to defeat radical political Islam. We will continue to check in on Noor in the future, and for our sakes, I hope he continues to succeed.